Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help. But first, here's his message, God's answer for anger.
So many angry people in our world. The world is a violent place now, a dangerous place. We shouldn't be surprised because the scripture says in the last days, perilous, dangerous, scary times will come. And it's getting pretty scary, isn't it? So much anger. Our nation seems to be so angry, so violent. And people are mad. Many are mad all the time. Just filled with either an internal rage that seethes and burns within, or the outburst of anger that we see displayed. It's not always the outward fighting, the outburst, or people expressing themselves. So for so many people, it's something down deep inside of them. And you have become a different person because of it. There's no peace. There's constant striving and strife and just this anger that boils over when someone pushes you or shoves you in some way emotionally or with their words, and then it happens. You don't know why, but it's because you have not received God's answer for anger. And we find this answer in many places in Scripture, but in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger or wrath." And watch this, verse 27. "And give no opportunity to the devil." Key verse, coming back to that in just a moment. But scan down to verse 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." And here's God's answer for anger, verse 32. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." So this sermon in one sentence is this: God's answer for our anger, for your anger, is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, there are two kinds of anger. There is ungodly anger, and there is godly anger. You say, what could be a godly anger? There must be some kind of anger that is not sinful anger, that is a kind of sanctified anger, if you will, a righteous anger, not an unrighteous anger. Because verse 26 says, "Be angry and do not sin." So what is a healthy anger? Did you know the Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day? Do you know that the Bible says that the wrath of God, God's burning anger, is executed in judgment over unbelieving and unrepentant people? You know, if you read your Bible, that God, who is love, will judge all sin and all sinful people who do not repent of their sin. This is why God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, to rise on the third day, this good news of the gospel. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet, yes, God will judge with holy wrath sinful people who do not come and find forgiveness and healing and hope in Christ. That is a fact. So if it is a fact that God himself is angry with sin and sinful behavior, then it's possible to be angry, to even have a godly anger towards sin and towards sinful behavior. Jesus did, who again demonstrated the love of God perfectly on the cross with his very life and character, beautiful Jesus. And yet, when he saw sin in the temple, the hypocrites, the phonies, those who were merchandising the people, he took a whip on two occasions. We're told that Jesus, this isn't the Jesus meek and mild you see in those old photos. This is Jesus with a whip in his hand, angry at the abuse going on in the place of worship. And he drove the money changers out of the temple. That's a righteous anger. Jesus never sinned. So that was not sinful anger. That was godly anger. It reminds me that in our generation, as in every generation, there are some things that ought to make us angry. That we would stand up for truth and righteousness in a godly way, and yet never passive, never placid, never weak, but speaking the truth in love. There's some things that ought to make us angry. The taking of innocent lives of babies, millions of babies aborted in their mothers' wombs, that ought to make us angry. The pornography business, that ought to make you angry. The persecution of Christians worldwide. Right now, Christians everywhere are being persecuted because of their faith, and even others who are not even Christians, who are religious in some way, are being persecuted around the world. That should make us angry. Injustice of all kinds, trafficking, human trafficking should make us angry. Angry enough to fight to stop it. Racial prejudice, racial hate ought to make us angry. It ought to stir righteous indignation in the soul of a believer. Enough that we would respond and speak truth in love and act and fight for what is right. That's what God has called us to do. But there's another kind of anger. It is an unresolved anger and bitterness that is seen often in the hearts of people, unregenerate, unbelieving people, but unfortunately, it's also seen in the hearts of believers, in the lives of believers. Because remember, this passage in Ephesians 4 was written to believers. So anger is a problem. One study indicates that anger shows up in the average person's life 8 to 10 times a day in some way. If you say you never get angry, then you need to repent of falsehood, because you do get angry. And so do I. I admit it. And verse 26, again, if you look at it, it says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." In other words, don't go to bed with your anger. Don't allow your anger to live in your house. Because if you do you know what's happening? If you are living with anger, and I've discovered as a pastor through the years that many people live year after year after year with some kind of anger and resentment and bitterness in their lives. I think it's the number one problem in the church in America today. There are so many angry people, and that constitutes angry churches. Anger. It's what's breaking our homes, ripping our homes apart, marriages, families. And this anger that so many people feel on a constant basis ultimately is devastating in people's lives. Because you know why? Look at verse 27. It says, "Give no opportunity to the devil." Anger opens the door of your heart, your life, your home, your family to the power of the enemy and to the bondage of Satan himself. There are satanic strongholds in people's lives because of anger. What happens when you let the devil in and give place to the devil because of unresolved, unrepented of anger in your life? Look at verse 30. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? You say, I thought the Holy Spirit was a powerful force, an influence in our lives. No, the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is co-equal with Christ, co-equal with God the Father. They are one. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter, the Counselor who has come, empowering us, equipping us. But the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it, not an influence. You can only grieve a person. Can God be grieved? Yes. Does the Holy Spirit grieve and weep? When we let the devil in and he's laughing, the Holy Spirit is weeping. Because it brings great displeasure to the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We can grieve him. I can only grieve someone I love. The word grieve is a love word. So because God loves us and because of our relationship with him in Jesus Christ, when we are angry and hostile and full of hate and bitterness, then this grieves the Holy Spirit.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, God's answer for anger. So many people are crushed by the stress of life and are searching for help and hope. That's why we're excited to share that a generous friend has offered to double your gift of up to $150,000 to help us reach our hurting world with the perfect peace Jesus offers. As a thanks for your gift, we'll send you Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help. This resource will help you walk in the quiet trust that comes with knowing your security in Christ, even in uncertain times. So call right now to have your gift doubled and request your copy of Help. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, God's answer for anger.
You want God to smile on your life? You want the Holy Spirit to smile towards you? Then the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Settle those scores and do it with forgiveness. But notice what happens when the devil gets a foothold. Verse 31. It starts with bitterness. Unresolved anger becomes bitterness. And bitterness is rage within. It's resentment. I know many people who are embittered about circumstances in their lives, problems they're facing, someone in their life, someone that hurt them, someone who said something, and people are bitter. I've known people who are angry with God, bitter with God, bitter with the church, angry with themselves. And according to Hebrews, it's described as a root of bitterness. A root goes down deep, it's unseen, but the bitter fruit of bitterness is all this anger and outrageous behavior that we can see in a person's life. We'll get to that in just a moment, but it's down deep within. That's the anger. That's why it doesn't have to be outward. It can be inward. It can be very, very strong on the inside. That's bitterness. It's resentment. It's an inside job. Are you a bitter person? What would your friends say? What would your wife, your husband say, your kids? Nobody wants to be around bitter people. I'm just telling you. But then notice what happens beyond bitterness. He talks about wrath. Now bitterness turns to burning. This is the burning, the agitations, the aggravations, constantly churning in a person's life. And it doesn't take but a spark to get a fire going. He speaks of anger. There's bitterness, there's wrath, there's anger. Now it's beginning to show up on your face, on your countenance. There's no signs of joy, evidence of peace. There's a scowl. And the interesting thing that happens with anger is the fight or flight syndrome kicks in, and it begins to affect you physically. You may clench your fist. Your body may shake. Your face may get red. Your eyes narrow. And while in problems like anxiety, depression, those kinds of things, it drains you emotionally and physically. What happens in anger is the adrenaline kicks in, and it actually adrenalizes you and energizes you at some level. You're ready to get after it now. You're ready to fight somebody. And that's anger. And now the devil's in deeper. The next thing the devil does is there's clamor. Now that's a word you probably hadn't used in your vocabulary this week, clamor. He was clamoring. What is that? It actually means loud speaking, to shout. It's what happens when you get in an argument and the voices get raised. And now somebody says, "Stop shouting at me." "I'm not shouting at you." "Don't raise your voice." "I'm not raising my voice." That's clamoring. That's shouting. And it's generally accompanied by profanity and cursing. Do you not think this stuff grieves the Holy Spirit? Early in verse 29 in Ephesians 4, it says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." You think, "I'll just give people a piece of my mind. I'll tell them off." And the next thing you know, the shouting turns to outburst. It means outburst of anger, laced often with profanity and blasphemy. And remember, many people have grown up in this kind of environment. The shouting, the arguing, the hatefulness, the spitefulness. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Settle it. Solve it. Don't expose your family to filthy talk. You know what the word corrupt there in verse 27, 29 means? It means rotten. Filthy, rotten words. But he's not finished. "And slander, put it away from you." I've noticed that people who are angry all the time in particular, they like to tell other people about it. You ever notice that? Angry people like to tell everybody else how angry they are. And it typically comes with slander or lies or gossip. You're never more like the devil than when you're slandering people, because the devil, his very name means the accuser, the slanderer. You'd think that would be enough, but the devil's not done yet. There's something else. End of verse 31 is malice. Malice means mad. It turns from mad to mad men and women. Malice. You're ready to fight somebody or bully someone with your words, or actually hit your wife, or abuse a child. God help you. Because now you're in bondage to the power of Satan in your life. So what is the answer? Verse 32. Thank God it's in the Bible. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." How has God in Christ forgiven us? Totally and completely. The word forgiveness, you know what it means? It means to pay a debt. We owed a debt we could not pay, and Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. Our debt. That's forgiveness. You say, well, you don't know what that person said to me. You don't know what they did to me. It was terrible. It was awful. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop obsessing over it. I know it's wrong, but I cannot forgive. You don't know, Pastor, what that person did to me. No, I don't. But I know what they did to Jesus. And Jesus on the cross, among the first words that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Now listen up. You say, I can't get this. Does that mean I'm endorsing the behavior? Am I saying it was okay, that it was right? No. And in fact, if someone has done something to you that is criminal, let the authorities handle it. The Bible teaches that. When my dad was brutally murdered in 1970, I wanted the authorities to bring justice. I refused to take justice into my own hands. I couldn't have if I had wanted to, but I didn't want to live with bitterness and anger towards someone. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says, let God judge the sinner. Let God judge that person who broke your heart. Let God judge that person who abused you. Let God be God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Let God be God, because here's what happens. Forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you. And when you forgive someone, you set the captive free. And the captive you set free is you. You're no longer living in the chains of the past and the pain of the abuse or the anger or whatever happened. You can live free when you forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. When we are obsessing about what happened or on the person who hurt us, because most anger comes because we're hurt in some way. So many people are always on edge and always ready to be angry, ready to react rather than to respond in love and kindness. What God is saying, I will exchange my love, forgiveness, and kindness, the loving kindness of God, for your anger, for your rage, for your bitterness, for your pain. You can break free of the bondage. How? Repentance, which means to change the way you think and admit, own it. You can't repent for somebody else, but you can repent for yourself. So confess it, don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, don't converse it by talking about it all the time, because any moment you're focused on the hurt, the pain, that's another day that you go to bed angry and you don't get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off your anger and off the person who angers you and get your eyes on Jesus. Obsess over him. The forgiveness that God has given you, and the same God who has forgiven you will free you. And the anger by the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, that's unnatural. Absolutely. This is supernatural. It's the supernatural work of God in your life. Don't you want that?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, God's answer for anger. Where do you turn when the stress of life feels overwhelming? Many people look to the latest self-help fad, but true rest only comes in returning to the Lord and trusting in Him. Because the truth is, you simply can't carry life's burdens on your own. In Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help, He'll show you how to turn your stress into strength through the certainty of God's promises, so you can face any challenges that come your way. Help is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's word through PowerPoint. And thanks to a generous $150,000 matching grant, whatever you give today will be doubled to impact even more lives for Jesus Christ. So request your copy when you call today, knowing your gift will be doubled. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to to 313-1313.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
We've all been hurt or mistreated by others. It's part of life. And the truth is, we can't change the past, and it doesn't really do that much good to ask why. What we need to do is move forward. And yet, one of the things that hold most people back from moving forward are the hurts in life, and it creates an unforgiving spirit. If your heart has been broken, but you want to get on with your life today, you must be willing to forgive. You can never fully realize God's grace in your own life if you are harboring hate or bitterness or resentment or pain towards others from your past. But what if you don't forgive? Well, there are consequences if we don't forgive. The Scripture warns us about these consequences. Unforgiveness can contaminate your personality with bitterness. It's like a weed that gets out of control in your life. And when you become bitter, you become negative and critical. Anger and resentfulness can grow unchecked, and before you realize it, joy and happiness have leaked out of your life. If left unchecked, unforgiveness will devour your relationships and jeopardize your future. Bitterness can spread to your marriage and be passed along to your children, even from generation to generation. Worst of all, unforgiveness can rob you of a growing relationship with God. Listen to the words of Scripture, Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. If you've been living with bitterness and anger in your life, there's some things you can do to begin the healing process. Admit the bitterness in your heart. Confess it to God as sin. Then ask God to heal your hurt and restore your spirit. And then ask God to help you fully forgive those who have hurt you. Forgiveness is not only a gift that you give to others, it is a gift you give to yourself. And when you forgive, you experience the freedom to love, to trust, and to begin living again according to God's plan for your life.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how obedience to God will guide you out of loneliness. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.